Adventist World Radio. From broadcast to baptism. Powered by SID Media.
Fantastic. Pastor Mvunelo, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Zama. Good afternoon to Bongi and the team. It's good to have an opportunity to engage with you on the Three Angels message. Thank you.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, sir, for joining us. I love the line as well. Much more clearer than yesterday. Load shedding. So we thank God for that. The Three Angels messages have been shared on several Adventist platforms. And oftentimes we have found that the message is disseminated from the context of fear. Now, this week, particularly, we are doing things differently with the pastor and understanding the message with the backdrop of God's love and mercy, I think, which the pastor has underpinned so beautifully yesterday. So, Mfundis, let me hand over to you to take us through today's lesson. Of course, you can recap a bit on what you covered yesterday and then get into today's conversation.
Thank you for the opportunity again. We on the first day we spoke about the Three Angels message understood in the context of the everlasting gospel, the gospel of love, the gospel and the intentions of God, understanding even the character of God. And yesterday we also framed it in the context of worship. It's part of the worship wars that are ongoing. And That's the background. And you highlighted something that I think we need to maybe focus on a little bit more today. And that is the fear that is around the judgment. And the issues around the judgment and understanding. And I think I mentioned yesterday to you that it's not the only judgment. There are several other judgments.
Yeah.
So I think let's spend time again on the judgment so that we can deal with some of the real fears. I know when you're dealing with fears, you cannot, maybe an episode or one episode is not enough to deal with the real fears around the judgment so that we can adequately address those concerns.
Yep.
So today we can focus on that. So that's the background we have established so far.
Lovely.
Everlasting gospel and worship wars. And so we continue with that from that point.
Yeah. All right, no, that's fine. Get Mfundis. It is now 27 minutes before the hour, 4 o'clock. So please do attend to the issue then of judgment and the worship. So you are not, and I'm noticing that your approach is that you're not taking it as per angel, as it were, but as per item or topic of discussion in this, which I think is quite appreciable. So please, Mfundis, Quebec.
All right. So the part of the reason I thought let's do it that way is in response to our engagement yesterday.
Right, right.
Wherein you raised, I thought we dealt with it on Monday, but I discovered as the more you spoke, and the more you raised that concern, that it is not a concern that can be treated lightly. It
True.
Cannot be treated in a. It's not enough to deal with it in a short and brief way.
Correct.
We
Correct.
Need to deal with the people's concerns.
Yes.
And in fact, the Three Angels message, Zama, tends to be terrifying because of the element of the judgment people so feel scared of. And so it's important that we spend that. So let me just highlight one thing. Unlike the popular beliefs and popular theology or street theology, God is not judgment excited. He is not looking forward to an opportunity to pounce at anyone and everyone who is out of step with him. Mm-hmm. I know when we grew up with a sense of a God who is kind of ready to pounce on anyone who is out of step with him. judgment is, as I said yesterday, is targeted at whoever is aligned with the devil, as I said, part of the worship wars that we are involved in. But it is important to understand, and maybe we need to start with John. John, when he talks about Jesus, he talks about him as an advocate. So already you have an advantage when it comes to the judgment. I mean, Daniel sets up the stage and says the books were opened and so on. But if you have Jesus as your advocate, you have somebody who not only understands your plight as a human being, as a person who struggles with sin. You have a person who specifically came to deal with a problem. But he says some interesting things that may be important for us to read from the book of Romans chapter 8, just as an example. Let's start from there. Then I'll come to John chapter 5 and verse 12.
Romans 8, you said.
Yeah, Romans 8, verse 1. Okay. And this is very critical for us to understand. And even in his conversation with Nicodemus, before I read Romans 8, verse 11, verse 1, Jesus makes a point, and that is, the Son of Man, or Jesus, did not come to condemn the world. He did not come for that. He came to save, redeem the world. But now listen to what verse 8, chapter 8 of Romans says. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, it may not mean much until you read what he says in John chapter 5, verse 24, himself again. Whoever hears my word and believes in him who sent me has eternal life. It doesn't say he will. It doesn't talk about the future. He says he has eternal life. Now listen to what he says further. And will not be judged. So whoever has Jesus Christ not only has eternal life, but will not be judged.
Okay.
And then it says, but has crossed over from death to life. So immediately, you can then understand that man that was hanging on the cross, who was guaranteed entry into heaven without any judgment, without anything. Immediately, we accept Jesus Christ. We have, I always think of it as an insurance cover.
Yeah.
Immediately, we have Jesus Christ. We are no longer under judgment. We have moved away from judgment. We have eternal life. We are covered. We are, as it were, removed from the death list. I'm using that, but the Bible uses the idea of the book of life. You are taken from the book of death to the book of life.
Yeah, yeah.
So the concept is the same. You are no longer on death row. You are no longer on the list of people who are going down into death. They are now, even though you die, while we still live, you are no longer going to be dying eternally.
Right.
You are part, and you will not be judged. That's an important part. So the idea that you have Jesus Christ removes you completely from those that will be judged. Why? And that is an important aspect for us to understand in the context of what I said yesterday. There are several judgments. So when you get that, then you are fine. If you understand that, immediately you are moved to become, you are not judged. John chapter 5, verse 24.
Now, yes, before you proceed, Mfundisi, I just need to then understand what you are saying, you know, and the concept that you've just put on the table, that you will not be judged, and according to what you read. Now, if the same scripture says we have an advocate in Christ, who will then stand before the Father and will speak in our behalf when the Father is sitting on the judgment seat, to me suggests that the judgment may be in favor of you or not in favor of you, depending on how you lived your life. And so when you say you will not be judged, whereas there is an advocate who is going to be a defendant there, I mean, speaking on behalf of the defendant, and will succeed in many instances, especially to those who are actually called by his name. So you may need to just express it a little bit more when you say will not be judged, when there is going to be an advocate there standing and defending those in whom he believes that should be given a chance to salvation.
All right, let me try and explain that, because it's an important question that you are raising. So in front of God, when this is also very important for us to understand,
right,
that this particular judgment, you are not, none of the human beings are there. It's happening in heaven up above us.
Right.
It's not happening in our presence, and it would be unfair, really, if it was a judgment that was going to condemn us without us being there.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a judgment that, instead of us standing in front of God, it is Christ who stands on our behalf.
Right.
It is Christ not only who stands on our behalf, but presents himself as the, let's look at, for example, if Zama's name came or Amias's name came up, as Amias's name comes up, instead of Zama's life, instead of Zama's or Amias's life being presented, what is presented is Jesus's life.
Okay.
And so Satan accuses Zama and says, I know, like he did with Moses. I know what he did. I know what he did in 19 whatever and 20 whatever and whatever the period.
Mm.
But as he did with Christ, I mean, as he did with Moses, he says, Moses, that the Lord rebukes you. And so the case is no longer your case now. You are, your advocate becomes your substitute.
Okay.
He stands in your place. That's why you will not be judged. That's why you will not be condemned. That's why there's no condemnation, because it is him who stands in your place. In each and every case, the ones who have taken up Christ or the ones who have accepted Jesus Christ in their lives, each of their case, it is him who stands on their behalf as the one who is accused. So if it is he stands as an advocate and as accused, we already know that Christ is the one who, I mean, he cannot be accused. And so your case, you are acquitted, you are called not guilty, because it's him who stands in your place. Put it this way, put it in another way. When your name comes up, when the role is called and it says Amias Mvunelo. So instead of seeing your video replayed or played up, Christ takes his video and says, here is Zama. And in this video, you see only Christ all along, every place. You see Christ being born instead of Zama being born in Queenstown. You see Christ baptized. You see everything. That case is no longer Zama's case. It is now Christ's case. I hope that clarifies, but if we need to clarify more, we can do. But I'm hoping that it clarifies the fact that the advocate takes your place. The advocate stands in your place. The advocate becomes the one who is standing. And so that it's an important aspect to understand.
So the idea of an advocate that we have here, I mean, when we talk about advocates here, they come there and they are not in trial, as it were. They are, you know, speaking on behalf of their client. And you are saying that the advocate we have in Christ is a different concept altogether. Am I getting you right?
Yes, there is that slight difference. There is resonance, of course, because in other cases, lawyers don't have, I mean, the clients don't have to go. But in this case, the difference is the fact that he becomes the one that is charged on your behalf.
Okay.
If it makes sense. So in other words, he's the one who stands trial on your behalf. It's not just a client. The client is not there. The client, the human being, is not there. The Zama is not there. The Amias is not there. But he take the Bible communicates that idea. He has taken up our case. He has absorbed our case. He's the one that has that is now standing in our place.
You know what you're going to remain with there, as I look at it, is that this person who was supposed to be in judgment, Zama, you know, as an example, did not actually stand trial, and so the accuser will still have a leg to stand on to say, no. This guy didn't even stand trial because his advocate stood there and was on trial. And this chap that you defending, in actual fact, is as guilty as charged because he never stood judgment. How is he going to be explaining that? I mean,
it's not just in the case of Moses, for example, that this is spoken of in scripture. A high priest, Joshua in Zechariah, stands trial, stands accused by the devil, as Moses was accused.
Right.
But in all cases, he is acquitted. I mean, in both cases, they are acquitted because they are not guilty, because their life is hidden in Christ, as they say.
I see.
It's that insurance I was talking about. They are hidden in Christ. You no longer have their lives, as they say. There's a song that says, "It is." I mean, there's a part that says in Paul, "It is no longer I that lives. It is Christ that lives in me." So there is no longer a life of... So whoever is hidden in Christ, whoever has accepted Christ, is no longer... And this is why it's very critical that we understand and speak about the judgment, not just this one, but others.
Yes.
But I'll touch that a little bit later. But the idea is simply... that this judgment is unique, because this is a judgment where the saints or the people who have accepted Jesus Christ are covered by Christ's life, and they do not stand. They do not stand in judgment. They do not stand accused, but it is him who, because they've hidden their lives in him, stands in the trial for them, and they are not condemned. Satan may make all his claims, may say what he wants, but the fact of the matter is he knows and understands that the aspect of judgment takes place against those who do not have the cover of Jesus Christ. This is where you can think of it as an unfair judgment, because it's in favor of the lady. Hence, the saints are not even there in that judgment.
Yeah.
But in the other judgments that follow, which maybe we'll touch on it tomorrow, when the other judgments are ready, when the other judgment, when Jesus Christ has landed on earth now, there's another judgment that takes place. All the people who are evil, who are wicked, attack the New Jerusalem, attack the saints and all of that. As they attack it, books are opened again. But when the books are opened this time, they are standing without an advocate.
Okay.
They are standing without a cover. There is no insurance for them, because they have rejected Jesus Christ as an advocate. They have rejected him. So, judged without an advocate, without any cover, without any protection, as it were. They are not protected, and they are judged and condemned because they had rejected that is Jesus Christ. Unlike those that are judged in to work
Yeah.
Also, there's a judgment I skipped, but we can cover it another time. Basically, the judgment of the saints checking out the records in heaven for 1,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
But essentially, what I wanted you to do, I wanted the audience or the listener to catch. You are not, once you have your life covered in Christ, you are sorted out. Once you are not condemned, you are not going to go through a judgment. Christ takes it all over, absorb this thing and takes it as his own case.
Fantastic.
And hence you will be acquitted. Mm. You are acquitted. So there's no reason, there's no need to worry because Christ is the one who has taken up your case.
Thank you so much.
Already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just wanted to, because I wanted just to wrap up. I see that the time is running away from us. And those who joined the conversation in the middle, we're talking about the three angels' messages, and the passage there on Revelation 14:6 says, "Then I saw another angel flying in the mid-air, and he had eternal gospel to proclaim to those who live on earth, to every nation, tribe, language, and people. He said in a loud voice," and this is what the pastor is addressing, "Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come." It continues to say, "Worship him who made the heavens and the earth, the sea and the springs of water." I just wanted to make that point so that those who joined us in the middle do not think we're talking about judgment, but we're actually addressing the three angels' message, and emanating from that was a question of judgment. Footis, we literally left with about 4 minutes or so. Please wrap it up for us.
All right. 4 minutes, then it's a long time.
Well, you can do it in less, it's fine.
Yeah, no, I'm okay. Thank you for that grace. So once we understand the judgment in the context of the gospel, our fears dissipate. Our fears are no longer a factor.
Mm-hmm.
Because we now understand that Christ, while it is a judgment that happens above, beyond us, far away from us,
mm-hmm.
he has assured us on many occasions that whoever accepts Jesus Christ has no condemnation. There's no condemnation. He came not to condemn the world. He came to save the world. But we also understand that once we accept Jesus Christ, we now move from the list of accused. We move from the list of those that need to be judged. We are no longer there.
Yeah.
We are now crossing over to another list. We are no longer even in the death list.
Mm.
So here's the key. Here's the key as I wrap up. Your best bet is to take up this insurance that is called Jesus Christ.
Mm.
The Bible tells us there is no other name, there is no other one by which we shall be saved except Jesus Christ. There is no one by whom we will escape. And it talks about in Psalms, who will stand in the judgment? Stand. None of us can stand in the judgment. The mistake we could make is the mistake that the wicked are making, or those that have rejected Christ. It is to reject the cover that would insulate us from judgment. It would to reject the insurance. It would be to reject the advocate who will stand in our place. And so here is our call, and this is important for us to heed this call.
Mm.
Make sure that your life is hidden in Christ. Your life is covered by Christ. Your life is protected by Christ. Let him be the one that stands and takes up your case. You are safe with that. And so we don't need to fear anything. Judgment, as it were, somebody says, is in the favor of the people of God already.
Beautiful.
They've won the case. They are acquitted. It's all done. As it happens, they are free from anything because they have taken up Jesus Christ. They are the ones he's the one who will say to Satan when he makes all these accusations against you, get away, get away, get away. This one is mine. This one is my child. This one is acquitted and is going to make it to heaven. And so that's the assurance that we get from Scripture. There is now no condemnation for them that are in Christ Jesus.
Beautiful. Well, Mfundisi, I do want to say thank you so much for spending this time explaining this so well thought and very thoroughly. Thank you so much. We are going to be connecting again tomorrow, same time and same place. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Zama. God bless you.
Fantastic. Thanks.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.